Okay, we're about to embark on a, I would say, a brand new sugya. It's brand new that we haven't spoken directly about this, but it has come up in passing. And this is all part of our Kli Risha Klisheni sugyas. This is the third of the group of Kli Risha Klisheni sugyas. The first sugya we spoke about, just the very difference between Kli Risha Klisheni, why there's such a difference. Then we spoke about how to be Magdir Kli Risha versus Klisheni, the issues of a gush versus the ladles, etc. And now we get to the third, the trilogy of these sugyas, and that's the sugya of Iri Kli Risha, the major, major sugya that impacts both in terms of kashrus and in terms of Shabbos, a very, very fundamental sugya that has makaris mamish spanning shas about what the status of Iri Kli Risha is. So the term Iri Kli Risha basically refers to as follows. I have a pot, so there's no question that this pot is a Kli Risha. If it's on the fire now, for sure it's a Kli Risha. Even if it's off the fire, it's definitely a Kli Risha Lamaisa, but it's a Kli Risha Deraisa Derabanan, depends on some of the previous sugyas, but it's definitely a Kli Risha right now, Bashi'o Sham, either Deraisa Derabanan. When I pour the contents into a bowl, so that bowl is for sure a Kli Sheni. What that means, what I can do with that, is a different story, called a Bishul, etc. Pli is Bishul, but it's definitely a Kli Sheni, that's not negotiable. The question that's unclear, that's very negotiable, it is what if it's in midstream? What is the status of the liquid as it's exiting the Kli Rishon and entering the Kli Sheni, when it's in motion, when it's in passing, when it's in the process of Ira? Ira means to pour, Laros. In the process of pouring, is that liquid Kli Rishon the liquid? Because it's still coming from the Kli Rishon and hasn't landed in Kli Sheni? Or is that already Kli Sheni Dika liquid? So that's a big, big nafkamina. That can impact very, very greatly Enuchas Bas B'cholov, Enuchas B'liyas. Anytime you have an Iru, let's say I'm pouring fleshik soup onto something milchix, is that Kli Rishon? Is that Kli Sheni? Or if I can impact the Nuchas Shabbos, I'm pouring from a pot of water, pouring from an urn, pouring from a tea kettle onto raw foods. Is that Kli Rishon? Is that Kli Sheni? Now again, I didn't say that Kli Rishon is totally mutter Nuchas Shabbos. We have other reasons why we're not cooking Kli Sheni. Maybe we have Kali Abishal concerns. That's all true. But still, it is critical for Hilchos Shabbos purposes to identify, are we dealing with a Kli Rishon Shara, Kli Sheni Shara? Kli Rishon Shara is a real, real, real serious problem, potentially deraisa. The Sheni problem is a problem, but significantly less. Or in terms of Hilchos Bas L'Cholof, Kli Rishon is a huge problem. Kli Sheni may not be a problem. So it is critical to identify any given Shaila. Is this a Kli Rishon issue? Is this a Kli Sheni issue? And Iri gets stuck right smack in the middle. And now the question becomes, how do we view Iri? So the Rishonim had major, major machlokes. We can see as we go on, there are actually three different opinions in Rishonim. Happen to be three opinions, either Rishon or Sheni. We'll talk about that as we go on. But there are really fundamentally three different opinions in the Rishonim, what our take is on Iri Kli Rishon. Does it retain Kli Rishon, change to Kli Sheni, somewhere in the middle? And the Makaros, the span, again, across many, many sugars in Shas. So the first of the Makaros is a Mishnah Masechah Shabbos, which is really the basis in Mishnais, the basis in Tanoim, for the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. That's the Mishnah we've been referring to this Mishnah many, many times. So the first of the Ramah Klamis, the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos from Nezim and Alf, Ha'ilfas v'kedera shavir mirusachim. If you have an ilfas, either like a frying pan, a kedera is just a regular pot, either one that is taken off the fire and it's still merusachin, it's still boiling hot. The overwhelming majority of the Rishonim assume that the word merusachin here doesn't mean literally 212 degrees. It means yatzah letters, but that's the general consensus. There was one opinion of Rishonim that maybe questioned that, but we don't assume. We assume halacha that the definition of the temperature of hot water that could potentially affect cooking is yatzah letters, but. And therefore the Mishnah says that if you take this pot or this pan off the fire and it's still blazing hot, lo yitem l'seichen tavlin, you're not allowed to put spices into this pot or into this pot of food or into this pan of food. So I would think here it's already off the fire. What's so terrible? No, kamash on the Mishnah that it's also. Now again, but in the Mishnah means it's also mid araisa nichayef skila. That's according to many Rishonim. If the Mishnah means it's only an Issa de Rabbanan, that's a some Rishonim learned Taich in the Rishalmi, and again, maybe the Bavli, maybe and maybe no. So that's still an open question, whether this is a Deraisa de Rabbanan, but there's no question that it's also. But what is permissible, says the Mishnah? What you are allowed to do is, you could take the contents of that pot, and pour it into a ka'ara, into a plate, or a tamchu is a larger kind of a plate, more like almost like a serving kind of a bowl. You can empty the contents out of the pot and pan into a plate or a serving bowl, and then, and only then, are you allowed to put tavlin in. And again, the reason being because klisheni is basically permissible to cook in. So the Mishnah is clearly comparing and contrasting kli rishon being osur, klisheni being mutter, but conspicuously missing is the question of iroi. What the Mishnah does not say is, can I take this hot pot and pour the contents onto the spices? It doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's also to put the spices into the pot, and the Mishnah says it's mutter to put the spices into the bowl. The Mishnah leaves out the case of our sugya. So Tosfos attempts to be medayik from our Mishnah, from this Mishnah one way or the other, and Tosfos runs into a brick wall. The second of my Mekoymus, Tosfos says, Mehocha leikele meidach de iriki klisheni, midiktar leita mesocha tavlin, v'ashminan mibusa afilush le'yara ala karisha tavlin mesocha. So Tosfos says one could have theoretically been medayik from the fact that the Mishnah only prohibits to put the spices into the pot. One could have made a case to say to put the spices into the pot is a problem, implying that the pour from the pot onto the spices would be okay. So Tosfos says, don't do that. Bad deal. Don't make such a deal. Why? Because the Adrab Dukmi Seifa, because if you're in the business of being medayik from the Lashon of Mishnayis, so you can make an equally valid deal in the other direction, namely, Diktoni of Al Naisin Ul Sechakara. If the Mishnah is looking around for a case that's mutter, so the Mishnah gives an example of putting it into the Kara, Paloktoni Ma'ara Lakara Shatav Mesocha. If the Mishnah really held that it's mutter to pour from the pot onto the spices, so why did it have to go run to the case of the Kara to be mutter? Should have simply said it's mutter to pour onto the spices. So this is like what the Gemara very often does. This is a style of diuk in the Gemara. The Gemara will say, Meha Lekalamesh Ramina. That clearly these are two contradictory diyukim. Neither one of them is accurate. And therefore, we basically toss the Mishnah out and say, this Mishnah cannot be, we cannot infer anything from this Mishnah. So when all the dust settles, if we're just reading the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis, we know two facts, Kli Rishon Osur, we know the Kli Sheni Mutter, but unfortunately, the middle fact, that's our sugya, we still know absolutely nothing about. So we're back to where we started from. So it was a nice reading the Mishnah together with you guys, but at the end of the day, we know nothing more than we knew before. So do we have any other rayas? So there is another potential raya, actually from another Mishnah. That's a Mishnah that really appears much, much later in the Masechta. It is quoted on Daf Lamed Tes, and also I put it on the Maamar Kabbalas Daf Lamed Tes because the Tosfos comments on this Mishnah. So this is really a Mishnah. Even again, the source of the Mishnah is actually in the 22nd parak of Shabbos, much, much later, but it's quoted in Daf Lamed Tes. So let's read this Mishnah again together. Mishnah we have also referenced several times. It is a loaded, packed Mishnah because so much about Bishul and so much about the Klolim of things we've been talking about is referred to in this Mishnah. So let's read the Mishnah together. Kol sheba b'chamin milfnei Shabbos. Anything that was placed into hot water from before Shabbos, sherin asa b'chamin v'Shabbos. You can take it out and then reinsert it into that water on Shabbos. So as long as it was one time in the hot water before Shabbos, even though right now it's been taken out of that water, it's okay to put it back in. What klal is this Mishnah saying? So without saying it exactly, but the Mishnah is illustrating the principle called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul. We've said it already many times. That phrase was coined by the Rishonim. Ein Bishul Acha Bishul does not appear anywhere in Shas, that phrase. It is the Rishonim's interpretation of this Mishnah. It's pretty much what the Mishnah says. Unless one really, really, really has to finagle to get out of this Mishnah to think the Mishnah means something else, the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim take the Mishnah Kipshuto, that Kol Shabbat B'Cham B'Fnei Shabbos, as long as it was cooked before Shabbos, it was Mavushol. So Sharon HaSeh B'Cham B'Shabbos, you can reinsert it back into hot water on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah contrasts. B'Chol Shaloba B'Cham B'Fnei Shabbos. Anything that was not cooked from before Shabbos. So it was not in hot water before Shabbos. So basically, now we're talking about things that ain't a mevushalim. So you're talking about a piece of raw food. It was never cooked. So implied by the Mishnah is that you can't put it into a pot on Shabbos because that would be bishul. But what can you do? So the Mishnah says, Madichan I say b'chamin b'Shabbos. What you are allowed to do is you're allowed to pour hot water onto it. So now this is getting much closer to our topic. So here the Mishnah is comparing and contrasting and saying, things that were fully cooked from before Shabbos, you can actually, quote unquote, recook them on Shabbos. Things that were not cooked from before Shabbos, you may not put into a pot on Shabbos, but you can be medeach from them. Now, if the Mishnah is saying you can be medeach from them, that phrase, madichen I say b'chamin b'shabbos, we have a phrase that is identical to that. We have a word that we use to substitute for that phrase. It's called irui. It's exactly what the Mishnah says. That it was lobo b'chamin b'fleh Shabbos. It wasn't cooked, so you can't put it into a kli rishon, but irui is permissible. Then the Mishnah just puts in a disclaimer. The only thing that you can't do irui with is things that are kali abishal. Kali abishal are disasters. Kali abishal are also all the time. Now again, whether the Mishnah meant diarais like the Bavli says, or maybe diraban like Yerushalmi, whether the Mishnah meant mishum machav patish like the Prima Godim, or whether it meant mishum bishal like the Mishnah Berurah claims all the Rishonim held, whether the Mishnah is referring to Inissa Diaraisa because it's Derech Bishol, whether the Mishnah is referring to Diaraisa because it doesn't matter that the Fadas of Makaros, so Ayin 2 sugyas ago. But the Mishnah is clearly telling us, with the exception of the Kali Abishol, so Madichna Sabacham and Bishamas, and it's really those 4 words that we have to isolate now and understand the parameters of that statement. Madichna I say Becham and Bishabas. So the question is, what does that mean? So Tosfos in the 4th Tiddur Mamakomis quotes and references the Machlekes of Rishon we've talked about a little bit before. It started out as the Machlekes, the two brothers, the Rashbam and Rabbi Natan. The Rashbam and Rabbi Natan were sitting around as teenagers, sitting around the Shabbos table, and they were discussing the following phenomena. A person takes a pot and pours it onto raw food. Are we experiencing Kli Rishon hitting the raw food? Are we experiencing Kli Sheni hitting the raw food? The Rashbam was of the opinion that we are experiencing Kli Sheni. The Rashbam's view was that as soon as it's out of the pot or soon afterwards in motion, by the time that hot water hits the raw food on the bottom, that is a mere Kli Sheni. And therefore the Rashbam plugs in the rule Kli Sheni and Mavashel, putting aside any chashash of Kali Abishal. The Rashbam never heard of chashash of Kali Abishal. And therefore, according to the Rashbam, it is mutar lechatchila to take hot water and pour it onto raw food. Just to give you an illustration just to how mutar it is, according to the Rashbam, you can take a tea bag, put it into your cup, walk over to the urn, push up shot, and turn on the urn, and just not literally turn on, but press the urn, have the water exit the urn, is leaving the Kli Rishon, the water in the urn is a Kli Rishon, the element is like the fire, the electric wires inside are like the fire. So the water inside the urn is a Kli Rishon, but the minute you empty the contents out, you're doing an Iru from a Kli Rishon. The Parshat Shad is according to the Rashbam, that is Mutal Lechatchila Shalab Lechatchila. That is exactly what the Mishnah says, Madichin I say Becham B'Shabbos. That is verbatim what the Mishnah means. And therefore, according to the Rashbam, the Mishnah reads like a charm. And that's exactly what Tosfos writes on the 4th of the Mamakomis. Tosfos writes in the 2nd line, Madichin I say, Vos meint in the Mishnah. What does it mean, Madichin? So the Perish, it says here, Ashba, I think this is probably a Tosafer. It's supposed to say Rashbam. It could be that the Rashba, the Baal Tosafos, the Rash may have very well held like that also. I have absolutely no idea. But it is unlikely that Tosafos is quoting a Rashba, where in all other places they quote Rabbeinu Shmuel, which is the Rashbam. So I am much more convinced that there's actually a Tosafer, just a typo in the Tosafos. So what I think it should mean is as follows. Madichan also, the Perish Rashbam, the Mefarish to Ilu Kiklisheni, according to the Rashbam, who holds in Kola Terakula, Iri is Kikli Sheni, Asi Shapir Hocha. So then the Mishnah reads beautifully. The Ein Shein I say Bichli Rishon. So what the Mishnah is saying is that you cannot take a raw food and put it into the Kli Rishon if it wasn't cooked yet. Vamadichan Asa Bichli Rishon, Derech Iri. But what you can do is you can empty the hot water and pour it onto the raw food, and that's perfectly okay because Iri is Kli Sheni, and therefore it's totally but. According to the Rashbam, the Mishnah reads like a charm. Avalzak Tesis, the Pirish Rabbeinu Tam, the Mefarish, the Iroi Habe Kikli Rishon. Rabbeinu Tam disagreed with his older brother, and he held that Iroi is Kikli Rishon. So, what does the Mishnah mean? When the Mishnah means, says, Madichin Oisai, what could that possibly mean? So listen to Rabbeinu Tam. He turns the world upside down. Obviously, if the Mishnah permits Madichin, it cannot possibly be referring to Hadocha Iroi from a pot. That's out of the question. That would be an Issa D'Oraisa. There's no way the Mishnah is permitting that. So, what does the Mishnah mean when it says Madichin Isai according to Rabbeinu Tam? What that means is Madichin Isai means Derech Klisheni. You want to take water from a klisheni and pour it onto raw food, that is okay. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, he just changed the whole flow of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not even talking about klishenis anymore. The Mishnah is talking about klishenis. Wait a second, that's a huge problem. Because if the Mishnah, if the subject of the Mishnah is a klisheni, we have to go back to the Mishnah itself, go back to the third of Mamakamis again, and let's read it again. Anything that was cooked from before Shabbos, sureness of Becham and Shabbos, you can put it into hot water and Shabbos. Good, Shkoyach, I don't care. Rishon, Shadish, it was this Basha, very good. But the next part of the Mishnah is a huge problem. If it wasn't cooked from before Shabbos, now again, Madichan I say Becham and Shabbos, if the Mishnah is permitting Eroi, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah must, by default, be talking about Klisheni, then the Mishnah is referring to an unbelievable Chiddush. What the Mishnah is telling us, even though it's a klisheni, and that's the only reason why Iroi / Hadoch is mutter, what does that imply, Rabbi Isai? What are you not allowed to do in a klisheni? What would this Mishnah be saying you're not allowed to do in a klisheni, Rabbi Isai? No, what would the Mishnah be inferring? It's perfectly okay to pour the klisheni onto the raw food, but you cannot put the raw food into a klisheni. Why not? It's a klisheni and a mavasha. What's behind the Mishnah? Klisheni Mevashel. How in the world do Rabbeinu Tam read this Mishnah? Kol shalei ba b'cham v'nei Shabbos. If it's uncooked, it's raw food. Madichin isa. You want to do hadacha? You want to iroi geigers and day? Oh, you want to put it into the bowl, into the plate, into the klisheni? You're not allowed to do that. Why not? Don't tell me a bubba ma'itzah because of Kali Abishol. Because the next line in the Mishnah is Chutz min Malich Hayoshon. Malich Hayoshon, even Iroi is also. Obviously, the Mishnah is not talking about Kali Abishol. The Tanoim weren't concerned about Kali Abishol. The Tanoim were talking about regular food. So, what's behind the Mishnah? Rabbeinu Tam is guilty of overkill. Rabbeinu Tam is mamash in the corner. Huchat, Rabbeinu Tam is in the corner. Rabbeinu Tam has to read the Mishnah as referring to Klishen, because Iroi is an Isidir Aisav of Klishen. Abra of the Mishnah is talking about Iroi Klisheni. Why is only Iroi Mutter? Why isn't the etzem nesina l'sachar klirishon mutter? So Tosfos is stuck with that. So Rav Pirush ben Tam, the mefarish the iri avik klirishon akoch medichin asam klisheni kama. Imkain amai iri abedichin afilu sharenami. But in the ri, the afilu beklisheni ain shirin. The hoyel the amayim chamin mechzikim avashel. What did the ri just say? Bedasas is hey gunkel bedasas ben Tam. The Re is posed this question as uncle. What did he say? That Munach licked in this Mishnah is something we never heard of until now. Zok the Re Munach in this Mishnah, according to Ben Tam's Pshat, there's an Isser mit the Rabbonon of cooking in a klisheni. Not because of Kali Abishol. I have Ruach HaKedesh, I know it's not Kali Abishol. And Chazal prohibited mit the Rabbonon. Ale cookie in a klisheni. Azoy state in this Mishnah. Azoy implied from this Mishnah, according to Rabbeinu Tam. What's the reason for this, Isser? Not a crazy reason. Mechzikim of Ashel. I got it. It looks like you're cooking. I see a guy taking raw food and putting it into a piping hot container. How do I know? Is this a klisheni? Who knows? Because Mechzikim of Ashel. It gives off the impression of cooking. And therefore, that's a problem, albeit a problem with the Rabbanim.
And he's going to say that applies to all klisheni?
That's what the Re just said. We got a lot of work to do, Rabbi Say. That's what the Re just said. The Re just read that into the Mishnah. So now the Re is in a big problem. What's the pickle of the Re? Don't just ask me a kasha misra. Ask me a kasha from a Rai, you know? Bring me a kasha from a Rai against the Re, as you said. The Re just made up an issa with the Rabban Yesh behind. Defend the Heilig Rabbeinu Tam. How can anyone in the right mind say that there's an issa midrabban v'kukin klisheni. It's against the what? What's it against? What do I say? Mishnah Mem Beis. The Mishnah Mem Beis says no sim losochek kar losochek tamchoy. No sim means mutter. No sim means it's a green light. No sim means it's okay. So that's Rabbeinu. That's the reason Kashon himself. The Alpha got the Tamik. Went back to the Tais the fourth of Ramkins. The Alpha got the Tamik. Come on about Noisel Sechar Lusachar Tamchoy. Hayodav Ketavlin. She Nasuim LeMasa Sekadera LeMexikim Avashel. What did we just say? This is a derabbanon that exists. The Chol Teikif, full force. But the reason Rabbeinu Tam just made up. This is a derabbanon was never said on Tavlin. You know why? Because Tavlin doesn't give off that impression of Mechzikim Mevashel. Tavlin doesn't look so bad. Tavlin looks okay. Because it's only the Masik Sekadera anyway. It's only there to give a little geschmack, a little taste to the Kedera. So that doesn't look so terrible. So with the Rabbanon, Tavlin's okay. We can breathe a sigh of relief. Rosh Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief according to the disdain tastes. So we just will be Chadish, according to Rabbeinu Tam, an unbelievable Chiddush, unbelievable Chumrah. That mid the Rabbanon, there's an Issa Goma mid the Rabbanon, almost across the board, the cook and cliche Mexican Vashel, but Tavlin's all right. So Rabbi say, I want you to tell me something else. The Tavlin parts ways with regular uncooked foods. Can somebody bring me another rye from the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis? The Tavlin has something else going for it, unlike other cooked foods. Unlike other uncooked foods. Anyone know? So on a level of the Rabbanon, the reader of the Nitam told me that the Issa de Rabbanon Mechzik Yivashel doesn't apply to Tavlin. Can somebody be medayik for that Mishnah Daf Mem Beis even more than that? The Tavlin are better than other raw foods, even with deraisa. Deraisa, who's talking deraisa? Nanikli Rishon, who's talking deraisa? What's the answer? What do you see clawed from the Mishnah Daf Mem Beis? The Oid, in addition to the Riz, the Ri had to concede. He was forced in the corner and he conceded the Issa D'Rabbanan doesn't apply to Tavlin. What else doesn't apply to Tavlin, Rabbi Say? What's clear as day from Daf Mem Beis? Tavlin are not what? Are clearly not what? If the Hilge Tanoim, the Mishnah says, it's Mutta Lechatchil Petavlin and Klisheni, what are Tavlin? What are they not?
Not Kalei Bishul.
Really not Kalei Bishul. Because if there was even a concern that Tavlin and Kalei Bishul, the Mishnah should have said, wait a second, you can't put Tavlin there, it's Kalei Bishul. So you see that Chazal are telling us, we don't know what else is not Kalei Bishul. We have very, very little to go on what is or is not Kalei Bishul. But we can say with full comfort that Tavlin are not Kalei Bishul. So Tavlin are not bad. Tavlin are a pretty good thing. If you look in this greater scheme of things, so I would put Tavlin as a pretty good thing to play around with because again, I wouldn't put Tavlin into my Klerisha. That's also. But as long as I can identify something as a Klisheni, all concerns of Klisheni, and there are multiple concerns. There's the deraisa, the concern of Kalei Bishul. There's the made up now, Rabbeinu Tam, and read the Rabbanan concern of Mechzikim Mevashel. All concerns about Klisheni just fall by the wayside by Tavlin. Right? It's gone. Not Kalei Bishul. Mishnah says it's mutter. Not in a Siddur Rabbanan, she says it's mutter. Sounds like Tavlin are good to go. Anyone know which great, great Gon Hagoinim took this Mishnah to the logical conclusion and had a Gevaldik Kula based on this? He just read the Mishnah. Neisnu Sechekar L'Sechet Tamchoy. Once you have a Klisheni, if it's Tavlin, it's good to go. What great going hagoinim had a gevaldik kula based? He read the Mishnah and he put it into practice. Lemais in his kitchen. Anyone know? It's this Mishnah that is the source for the famous psak of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim held it's mutar lechatchila to make tea on Shabbos in a klisheni. Reb Chaim said, "Go you take your tea kettle." Pour your tea kettle of boiling water into a cup and put your tea bag inside. So Reb Chaim had the gomer belishim sofek, and it's Yaduah Mefursim. Reb Chaim himself used to make tea that way on Shabbos. Zok Reb Chaim, it's a Mishnah. How can you argue with the Mishnah? Neisenu l'sachet ha'ara or l'sachet tamchoy. Are you going to tell me a story? There's an Issa de Rabbanan out there Taisa said that Issa Rabban doesn't apply to Tavlin. What is T if not Tavlin? What's been Tavlin? The Masik is a Kadeira. What is T? It's the Masik. It's a, not literally the Masik, but to give flavor, to give taste to water. I really, I'm having hot water. I don't want to drink plain hot water. So I put that tea bag in to give it a little bit of a zest, a little bit of taste to it. So Reb Chaim, since tea is just the masa, it's a kadeir, it's just to make the water taste good. That is the Mishnah, Nesnach the Karol Zach Damchut. And since it's muchach from the Mishnah, the Tavlin are not Kali Abishal, there is no reason to be machmer. Even according to the Sefer Reim, that everything is a Sufik Kali Abishal, but this is not a Sufik. This is not one of those things. This is one of the things that we could say, Yamun Shlema, full 100% certainty, this is not Kali Abishal. End of discussion. Therefore, Reb Chaim held. It's mutter to do this. Unlike Reb Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, writes that if a person makes tea on Shabbos, even in a klisheni, the Mishneh Berurah, it's a suffix, it's a skila. Why? He says it's a suffix, Kalei Bishul. Says Mishneh Berurah, I don't know, I can't say with certainty that it's mutter, it's a suffix, Kalei Bishul. And therefore, it's an iser chashash and it's a skila. Then you can negotiate, maybe klishlishi, maybe yeah, maybe no. But to make tea in a klisheni, says the Mishneh Berurah, is absolutely completely out of the question. You cannot hide behind the kul of tavlin. Why not? Chayyim Rechaim's right. What's wrong with Rechaim's svara? Isn't tea tavlin? So the Mishnah Berurah never addresses the question. Doesn't tell you why. Doesn't tell you why, what he would do to Reb Chaim's response. I don't know whether the Mishnah Berurah was aware of the fact that Reb Chaim used to make tea this way. I have absolutely no way of knowing. But Mishnah Berurah writes, Pemole, that it's a chashash and it's a skila. Reb Chaim held it was mutlach hadchil, it's a Mishnah. So the Sefer Shmini Shabbos Kilchos, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman that Shlomo Zalman was very, very weary to call tea tavlin for the following reason. For this matter, says Shlomo Zalman, I'm very weary to call anything tavlin for the following. If you think about it, why is tavlin so plush and not Kali Abishal? What would you think? What, give me like an idea in your mind. What would you think a Kali Abishal kind of food is? These little fish, because of ispinin, these little kind of little sardine, little herring, those kinds of things, those give off the very, very small, very thin kinds of food, things that are fairly simply cooked. Our imagery of non-Kali Abishal, like the Gemara says, like a big piece of meat, that's like a non-Kali Abishal, takes a long time for that to happen. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, we who live in the 21st century, or in the Shlomo Zalman still lived in the 20th century, we have a different picture in our minds of spices than exist in the old days. Our image of spices is going to the shelf of the grocery store and looking for the McCormick little bottles of onion powder, of garlic powder, of paprika, those kinds of things. That's what we think spices are. Little ground up ginger. That's what we think spices are. Those are ground up spices. Spices of old meant you had a big stick of cinnamon, not a little, 5 trillion little particles, and you had a big stick of cinnamon, but a big stick of ginger. Those are the spices of old. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman, the reason why Chazal said, and nobody in the days of Chazal were worried that spices are Kali Abishal, is because they're big and fat, and it takes an awfully long time to cook through them. But if Chazal would have seen the spices of today that are very, very thin and chopped up into fine particles, they never in a million years would have said that that's called tavlin. Halacha was seen as tavlin. What's for tavlin? Kach nemar halacha, tavlin and not kalei bishul. That's ridiculous, Shlomo Zalman. Tavlin and not kalei bishul because they're big, big, fat pieces. If Shlomo Zalman's hagdara is correct, that throws a serious hesitation about tea bags. Tea bag. The little tea leaves inside the tea bags. That's the older, how long, how much heat does it take to cook up a tea bag? It says it takes a second to make a cup of tea. It cooks through and through in a split second. And therefore, according to Shlomo Zalman, you cannot categorize tea bags as the tavlin of Chazal. And therefore, you have a shadow of deraisa if you're going to put it like into the cliche, and exactly what the Mishnah Berurah said. Obviously, Reb Chaim didn't buy into that. Well, the famous story that somebody saw the Rav making tea in a cliche on Shabbos, and they said to him, Rebbe, doesn't the Mishnah Berurah say it's a Shabbat Deraisa? So I've heard two versions of the story with the Rav's response. Well, they're basically the same response. One version of the story was the Rav responded by saying, my grandfather also knew how to learn, and he held it was okay. And the other response was, my grandfather was also a Sherma Shabbos, and he used to put tea bags into his klisheni. So I cannot vouch for the accurate response that the Rav said, but the bottom line is the Rav was not too concerned. So again, those who follow this tradition of the Rav, the real Talmidim of the Rav, who follow everything else the Rav says, those who really follow this Pesach of the Rav, follow this Pesach. For those who don't necessarily follow all the Pesach of the Rav, so I think they should probably be more in sync, more in line with the Mishnah Berurah. Seems to be the more popular approach. The later poskim is to this, to assume that that this is a problem. Moshe held this way, Shabbos held this way, Shem Talmud held this way. That one should not be making tea in a cliche in Shabbos. Just as an aside, Rav Moshe had a chiddush. Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that klishlishi it should be okay to make tea in. Because Rav Moshe said, even the machmirim, that everything is mevashal in the klisheni, Kali Abishal, maybe by klishlishi everything's okay. And others weren't even sure that was right. Others weren't even convinced that that klishlishi solves any problems whatsoever. That's a further question. But get back to that story. So we just discovered that this Mishnah about Madichanos Abacham B'Shabbos means something very, very different according to Rabbi Netav. That means according to the Reshbam. According to the Reshbam, the Mishnah meant kipshuto. You're allowed to pour from a kli rishon onto raw foods. And that's perfectly okay because iri is kiklisheni right away. Whereas according to Rabbi Netav, that's not at all what the Mishnah meant. Mishnah wasn't even talking about pouring from a kli rishon. It was talking about pouring from a kli sheni. And because the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Netav, was forced to be referring to kli sheni, in passing, we derived the new halacha that there's a problem with the rabbanon of cooking a kli sheni, a problem we never knew of. So it added to our list. So it's because of this re that we try to refrain from cooking a kli sheni. We refrain from cooking a kli sheni for two reasons. Number one, we're always afraid of kali adishu, or as we missed from last sugya. And the Eidi Shlomo, we're concerned with the re. But then comes Taisus in the fourth and Rambam Kibbutz and says, you know, we're not even sure that this Issa the Rabban even exists. We thought we had to make it up. We thought we had to be Mechadisha to defend Rabban at times around the Mishnah. Now Taisus backpedals a little bit. Inami says Taisus, second line to the end. When did Shayuna say, came in the Arabic Lishayni? How did Nokad Madich and Mashmina and the Filu Hadocha have a Gemar Malacha and Malacha Yashem? Says Taisus, you know, maybe you could read the Mishnah as follows. Let's go back to the Mishnah again, back to the third of Mamakamis. The Choshel of Baba Chama from Shabbos, anything that was raw, when the Mishnah says, Madich la Sabacham Shabbos, you're allowed to pour from a Klisheni onto it. Who has the Nami? You're allowed to put it into a Klisheni. The Mishnah does not mean to be Medayek pouring Mutter, placing Asar, even placing is Mutter. So why did the Mishnah mislead us? Why does the Mishnah talk about pouring? Because the Mishnah wanted to highlight the next day, because Kali Abishol, you're not even allowed to pour. So when the Mishnah chose to use the illustration of pouring as an example of what's Asur, example of what's Mutter, the Mishnah didn't mean to highlight pouring Mutter but placing Asur. The Mishnah meant to say pouring and placing is all the same thing. It's all klisheni. Klisheni is taka Mutter. The only reason why the Mishnah chose the case of Adichin to highlight that if you have Kali Abishol, don't even do that. So at the end of the day, Taisa is not even sure, even according to Rabbi Netav, there's an Isser, Abishal Medirabban, and Klisheni. Lamaisa, we've accepted this, Rabbi Netav, we've accepted this Re. For us, we accept it anyway because we have to always, in the back of our mind, be concerned with Kalei Abish. So Halach Lamaisa, we don't cook Klisheni. Bottom line is, only in most foods, we would not be willing to put in a Klisheni because either we're worried with the Raisa, Sava Kalei Abishal, or we're worried with the Rabbanon for the Re and Rabbi Netav. But just be aware of the fact that the Re and Rabbi Netav themselves weren't even sure they're right. So themselves weren't even sure that there's an absolute Issim in the Rabban in the cliche. So back to our story, the main part of our story goes back to the Rashbam and Rabbi Netav. We're back to square one. We still do not know what is the status of Ira. Is Ira Kikli Rishon? Is Ira Kikli Shon? So we thought we had a ride from a Mishnah on Daf Memeis. Taisa said the Mishnah doesn't teach us anything. We thought we had arrived from this Mishnah quoted the Flamites. At the end of the day, Rashbam read the Mishnah one way, Rabbi Netav reread another way, and off arrived. So we're searching for more Gemaras, more Rais, more Mamar Chazal. Can anybody please tell us something about what the status of Ira is all about. So there is a Gemara in the Pesachim and the Fine Hay. It's a Gemara we've referred to already way back. Let's go back, make reference to the sugi again. It's the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel about Ilo Gover versus Tafsal Gover. Ilo Gover, Tafsal Gover means as follows. We all know, and again, the original sugya was talking about Belias. Put back our Yerodea caps for a second. Forget Rechaim for a second, go back to Yerodea. Don't forget Rechaim for too long. But forget it for a second, back to Yerodea. There's a cloud godol in Yerodea. Tzeinin, Bitzeinin, Badocha. Two cold things touch each other. No Belias. Unless there's some other process that's intermingling, such as Kavosh or Maliach. Those are the exceptions to the rule. But by and large, the rule is a cold piece of meat touches a cold piece of cheese, wash it off. Cold piece of chaza touches a cold piece of chicken, wash it off. Tzeinin, Bitzeinin, Badocha. Cham b'cham, disaster. Belias, Gefer Lechtar. But what if you have something in the middle? What if you don't have both pieces on? What if only one of the pieces is on? So for argument's sake, a hot piece of kosher chicken falls onto a hot piece of chaza, or vice versa. Oh, I'm sorry, doctor. A hot piece of chicken falls onto a cold piece of chaza, or a cold piece of chaza falls onto a hot piece of chicken. So I have one of the pieces involved is hot, one is cold. Sometimes it's the top piece that's hot, sometimes it's the bottom piece that's hot. What's the din? So again, the extremes we know, the extremes are always easy. Tzeinin b'tzeinin b'adocha. Cham b'cham is b'liyas, is asas b'kulo, nothing to talk about. But what if I have one hot on top of a cold, or a cold on top of a hot, what do I do there? So if you remember back to the really early sugyas, back in August, it's hard to believe, back in August. But we said this machlokes Rav and Shmuel, do you say ilo gavar, or do you say tasa gavar? And we happen to pass it like Shmuel tasa gavar. Namely, everything depends upon the bottom. The bottom is keveya. If the bottom is hot, that's called cham, and we have blias. If the bottom is cold, that's called tzeinin, and there are no blias. So the Gemara says in the fifth of the Ramakomos, a braisa to support Shmuel, it's a chiddush that we pass like Shmuel. Normally Rav and Shmuel we follow like Rav b'Isurim. But here it's a chiddush we follow Shmuel. Take a look at the second paragraph from the fifth of the Ramakomos. Tanya can say to Shmuel, cham is a cham osur. That's easy. V'chein tzeinin shasun zal cham osur. It's also easy. Because Tasa Gavar, we pass like Shmuel. But Cham Lesech Tzeinin, or Vitzeinin Lesech Tzeinin, Mediach. So either if it's Cham into cold, or if it's cold into cold, you just wash it off. So Frank the Gemara, really? I don't understand that. Cham Lesech Tzeinin, Mediach, is that true? That if a hot piece of chicken falls on top of a cold piece of chazer, you just wash off the chicken and call it a day. Really, that's it. That's all you got to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Kevin the chamu, since the top food is cham, at the makele, the efshad la balaporta. As it's cooling down, as the hot piece of chicken is cooling down, it is beleya a little bit. And again, this is something going all the way back to August. We have now a belia b'miktas. It's not a belia b'kulo, but it's not cham so cham. It's not even tzeinin l'secham. It would have been tzeinin l'secham. Shmuel's right. Tasa gavar would have been a bliya b'kula. So it's a hot top, bottom cold. It's not going to be a bliya kulo. But the Gemara says it is physically inconceivable. Yefshed lo balaporta. And what do you do when you have these yefshed lo balaportas? Frank, the Gemara klipa miyani boy. Does that ring back a bell? Does that bring back some nice, pleasant memories? I hope that brings beautiful memories back. Klipas, remember the good old days of the klipas. Remember, who remembers? No, who remembers? Tysus, in the first sugya, Tysus wanted to bring a riot. This was like it was still sunny outside. We were still learning together back in YU. Remember our old classroom, guys? Remember, it's been so long. Remember Gluck, third floor Gluck. It was the opening days. It was Mamash. It was beautiful. Pre-Elul. I don't think it was Chosh Elul even. And we saw this Gemara on like the second day of Shir or something that said that Klipa Mini Boy and Tosis wanted to bring a rye from here. Oh, Zaman Fundo, that Sali requires Klipa. Remember that? And Tosis said, maybe yeah, maybe no, back and forth. So this is the Gemara. This was the Sugi that Tosis quoted. The actual Bala poured the Klipa Mini Boy. So Gemara says, you're right. such a good kasha. We misread the Braisa. It was a tosef, and it was a mistaken gears in the Braisa. What the Braisa should have said is as follows: Ela ema cham l'sech tzeinim kleilev, tzeinim l'sech tzeinim mediach. So there are actually four different scenarios of hot and cold, both hot, both cold, top hot, bottom hot. So you map out the dinner. We had a board. We would draw a picture on that board in a good old third floor of a blackboard. So what would we write? We write four different scenarios. If they're both hot, it's b'liya b'kulay. If they're both cold, it's tzadim b'tzadim b'adocha. If the bottom one is hot, that's b'liya b'kulay. If the top one is hot, bottom one cold, all you need is k'day klipa ad kan. So Rabbi say, let's think of that image. Once I close our eyes, figuratively, think of that image of Cham L'Seich Tzeinen. And the Gemara is saying Cham L'Seich Tzeinen is not a B'li B'kulay. A B'li a little bit there is. They clip a little nafik. Dr. Eshbam, as is quoted in Taizen Zvachim and a few other places, but I put the Taizen Zvachim as the longest Taizen. Taizen Zvachim said, hey, the Helig of Eshbam says, if you think about it long enough, Vos is Iroi Klirisha. Think about it for a second. I'm pouring hot water onto cold tea bags, right? That's what I'm doing. I'm pouring hot water onto cold tea bags. What you're doing is Tasogavar. Every Iroi, says the Rashbam, is the halakha equivalent to Pesachim, the fine. We who paskin like Shmuel that Tasogavar, it means there's no real belief, nothing's really happening. Get a creepy for a second. Nothing really happening. The song goes, it's not believe a kulay. Zark the Rashbam. That's exactly what's going on in the new Iri Klirisha. Just as Shmuel said the song over, and therefore you're good to go, and don't worry, nothing to worry about. Just as Shmuel enough, I am in days, and the Bryce is what Shmuel said the song over, and therefore everything's good. Who are the Nami when you pour hot water from an urn onto a tea bag? Everything's good. There's nothing to worry about. Tasagavar. And therefore everything's great. Everything's wonderful. And that was the Rashbam's Shita. If you take a look at the sixth of the Maamar Klemes, second line, the Orai Medaktik, the Rashbam was Medaktik, we had the Kamel and Kishmul, the Tasagavar, the Tanakh was able to prepare Kate at Tzolin, that Irui is Mamish like Klisheni. And just as an aside, a throwback to what we spoke about earlier, Vaya Mati Mitaykach Larach Reischin Miklivishan Al Tanigelis Kedela Molga. Remember, we spoke in the last sugi about those chickens that are full of feathers, and we try and very desperately to get those feathers off, and we'd love to put hot water onto them, but we're afraid to, because we don't want to cook those chickens. Says the Rashbam, great, don't put the chicken into a pot. Just pour the pot onto the chicken. And everything is hunky dory, says the Rashbam, everything is gevaldik. Because Iroi is Klisheni, Klisheni and Mavashel, and the Raya from Rashbam is Tasagavar. Gavaldika, Gavaldika Raya, right? The Rashbam's brother, Rabbi Natam, turned around to his older brother and said, Achi Agodol, Rabbi Meiri. Rabbi Natam learned by the Rashbam. He says, how can you bring me a Raya from Sochem Einei that Tasar Gover is the model for Iroi? It's a raya for Kert. Because what does the Gemara say about Tasar Gover? True, it's not a B'li B'kula, but what is it, Rabbi say? What is it, Rabbi say? It's a B'li B'mitzasai that still requires Klipa. And therefore, says Rabbi Natam, Iroi, a maskim, is not Mamashikli Rishon, but it's Mavashikli Klipa. And it's Mavashah to be Klipa, you're not allowed to cook Klipas on Shabbos. How dare you? How could you be mafted to pour boiling water onto tea bags? You're Mavashah to be Klipa the tea bags. That's a Nisadiraisa. Even a cooking a little bit is also better. Chatzashir also better Torah. Does that ring a bell from way, way back? You're not allowed to cook even the smallest amount on Shabbos. Even cooking the Klipas is a problem. And how could you possibly permit the pouring of hot water onto the chickens? It's mevashach, it's a part of the chicken is going to become treif. The old external parts, the klipa part, as thick as the klipa is going to become treif. Because the dam and that part of the chicken is going to become his bashel. So the Rebbe Tam turned around to his brother and said, you want to bring me a raya from Sochem? The raya from Sochem was a raya against you, not a raya for you. All you succeeded, Zokta Ben Tam to his brother, is to bring me a raya that Iru is not a klivisha, not a god. But that doesn't solve the problem, because even if it's not a klivisha to cook legamre, it still cooks me the klipa lo nafka. And if it cooks the klipa, then we're in trouble. That was Rebbe Tam's response back to the Rashbam. How did the Rashbam miss it? Rashbam didn't forget that Gemara Pesachim. He's quoting the Gemara. Rashbam says, I am Pesachim, I am A. Didn't he read the next line of the Gemara? Didn't he read the line we just read? I came in the Chad, the Mekele, Yevshel, the Balapur, the Klippamini boy. What is Pshat in the Rashbam? How could he miss that Gemara? No. What's Pshat in the Rashbam, Rabbi said?
Didn't we say earlier that in order to have Bishol, you need a Blios, so... If you disagree with that, maybe the Rashbam can answer it, and you don't need it.
Oh, so comes to Shach and Simon Kufhe and says the answer to the Rashbam is very simple, as Asher says correctly. Obviously, the Rashbam held Bliyas Luchud and Bishul Luchud. Just because the Gemara says in Psachim, the Evshad Lo Bola Porta, Klipa Mi Abai, that means the Evshad Lo Bola Porta. Aber what? Doesn't mean it's Mevashal Porta. It means it's fundamentally cliche. And there's a quirk that has a little bit of blias. A little bit of blias. We have to reckon with, we can't ignore them. We have to mach effect the blias by doing a klipa. Of a bishul? Bishul is nish, because it's fundamentally cliche. So comes the Shach and says, the Rashbam wasn't at all concerned, wasn't at all bothered of any time's kasha. Because there's no such gemara. The Gemara never says that Iru is Mavasha for the Klippa. The Gemara just simply said that Iru is Mavliya for the Klippa. So how did Rabbi Natan bring a raya? Didn't Rabbi Natan realize that the Gemara is talking about Bliyas? How do you have a right to carry it over to Bishul? Rabbi said, what is the Nekudas of Machlokes in the Rashbam and Rabbi Natan? This is an old Machlokes, Usher referenced correctly. We spoke about this last week. Do the rules of Bishul and Bliya go hand in hand? Just because we find certain things are Mavliya, does that mean they're Mavasha or vice versa? So we had a big machlokes. There was some Rishonim who said that Kishem Shiklisheni and Mavashel, Kachlisheni and Mavliya. Who remembers? Who was the Rishon Medaber? Which great Pesach said that? Who really held that way? Kishem Shiklisheni. What? The Ramah. The Ramah held that Meikamik Radin, Kishem Shiklisheni and Mavashel, Kachlisheni and Mavliya. The Ramah went even further and said, even to the Vagush, he wasn't Mesiaches to that Chumah. But a lot of places, Kim Taz, Shach, a lot of places weren't, a lot of Rishonim weren't so sure about that. That's a big machlokes in Rishonim. So now, Munach, this Rabbi Natan and Rashbam, is this Nekuda now as well? From the fact that Rabbi Natan brings the Rai, he brought a proof from, just as when you have an Iroi, so it's Mavliya b'miktosif, Mavliya b'deklipa, does a Raya that is Mavashav b'deklipa, and if he can't do it on Shabbos, Rashbam says no. And if you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. So we've presented now the basic machlokes in Rabbi Natan and the Rashbam. We've already seen that the Rishonim are searching for rayas, searching for Mishnayos as rayas. Mishnah Membeis, we thought it was a raya, not a raya. Mishnah Lamites, Nishkin raya. In passing, because we learned the Mishnah reference of Daf Lamites, we were introduced to the Chumrah of the Riyah Rabbi Natan about the Issa Derabbanan potentially of Bishul Klisheini and all that means. So it was important for us to see that in passing. But getting back to the main flow of our sugya is the Machlokes Rashbam Rabbi Natan and the Rayas that are going back and forth. And now this is a very, very stark Raya. This Rashbam is a very, very powerful Raya from the sugya of the Sogovit, which Rabbi Natan says, not only is it not a powerful Raya, it's a powerful Raya for Kert, that the Rashbam responded, no, Bishul and Bliyas are not the same, which Rabbi Natan held, they're all the same. So at the end of the day, do we have any raya whatsoever from that sugi Maseches Pesachim? Not really sure. Rabbi Natan and Rashbam each can explain that Gemara Pesachim in their own ways. Rabbi said we have more to do with that Gemara Pesachim, because that Gemara is going to remain pivotal for our discussion. Hopefully tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll go back to that Gemara Pesachim about Ilogover to Sogover. And then move on to other sugyas in Maseches Avodah Zarah, more sugyas in Maseches Pesachim, more sugyas in Maseches Zvachim, more sugyas in Pesachim, Avodah Zarah. Three, four more rayas that each one has to be analyzed and evaluated, because each one is a whole own world. But we're in a flow now no pun intended, in the flow of the Iri, in the flow of the Rashbam Rabinatam, the Rabinatam is saying that Iri is Mevashel, albeit Kedei Klipa, not necessarily the Kula, but at least Kedei Klipa. And the Rashbam is saying, no, it's not Mevashel at all. But well, yeah, maybe Kedei Klipa, yeah, for good luck. But Mevashel, Nish Mevashel, Klisheri and Mevashel. So basically, we have a lot more work to do on the Gemara Pesachim. Hopefully, we'll get to Shem and the other sugyas as well. So keep on getting ahead in the Maamar Karmos, and hopefully, Metz Shem will pick up tomorrow. Good. I hope everyone's doing well. Hope everyone's still feeling strong, still feeling well. Metz Shem, hopefully, we'll continue tomorrow. Okay, call to.